Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year. Like, we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece of
season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened prior to this session, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including all the ridiculous shit I went through after the Jack 4 offsuit debacle, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. That's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And you can do that right now. Just takes a few moments. And not only do you gain access to about 900 hours of private recordings, including part one of this episode, the lead up to the session review I'm about to do, but you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. So go do that right now. I'll wait for you. I'll take a sip of this Coke Zero. And once you're officially a patron, we'll start. What? You don't know? It's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. All right. Thank you all for signing up. I hope you enjoy both all the content and the amazing community. Poker session 138 of 150, No Pain Thursday, part 2, the session. So as mentioned, part 1 was the lead up. And typically, every week I do a long lead up on Thursday, just all life story leading up to my appearance on Hustler Casino Live, which is almost always Max Payne Monday. And then on Fridays, you get the session review. Well, there's not going to be a Max Payne Monday coming up because we're doing renovations, some for security, some for production during the week of Thanksgiving. So there's not going to be a Monday. So I'm going to play instead on a Thursday, just on the casino floor. But to recap, if you just became a patron right now, you don't have the stuff in between. So Max Payne Monday, the last time you heard from me, I was not ready to play. I was actually too relaxed. I was just kind of jelly brain. And that's what poker is for me. It's being in the zone or not. And the older you get, I think the harder it is to get in the zone, or maybe just the more times you've played. And I've played so many times. And this year I've been doing a pretty good job getting in the zone. And I think a lot of it has to do with going on stage and the adrenaline and knowing that people are going to be watching this. And it just helps you focus. And so I've been in the zone a bunch this year. I really wasn't on, what was the date? That was the 14th. I just wasn't, and I didn't play well at all. I was careless. I think I said I was lazy, but I just was careless with my sizing, and I don't believe you need to take a long time when you bet or raise, but you do need to disguise your hand, and Sia, the bot, really picked me off in a bunch of spots where she was in the zone, and I was not, and I was just betting. You know, it was obvious I was bluffing, and she was hero calling with pocket pairs on horrible boards for pocket pairs. And yeah, I could have binked, you know, something at some point. But it really feels to me, and it's always felt to me, like there's a lot of momentum in poker. It's not true that if you play bad, you're going to run bad. It just feels like it. And here's why. Here's my hypothesis. So you play bad, and when someone makes a really good call down against you or folds, a good fold or a good bluff, they get confidence and they are no longer intimidated by you. I don't want people intimidated by me at the poker table. I want them to love to play with me. But when it comes down to a big spot, I want them fucking scared. And that is kind of, you, it's just kind of an edge you have over the table typically. And when you're going to get bluffed and you're going to make bad calls and you're going to fuck up. And if you bounce back, you can kind of regain that, I mean, it sounds weird, but it's like a dominance over the table. And I certainly didn't have that at all. And so you lose that, and now there's blood in the water. And now these people that are normally on their heels against you in big pots, which means they're just playing pretty straight up. You can read them very well, and they can't read you because they're just fucking scared. And, well, that's been flipped. And so it's not that you play bad and they start to run bad. It's you play bad and then everyone starts to play way better against you, and hands you normally win or escape from, you don't. And a good example of this is, well, there were several hands where Sia called me down with pocket pairs on sketch boards. I don't think she can do that if I'm just taking my time with my sizing and I'm selling it. Everyone knows I'm very bluffy, but you just can't call down with sevens on ace, 10, fucking queen, whatever it is. And she was able to do that because my sizing was too big pre-flop and I was rushing it post-flop, and she just had to read that I was bluffing, and she was right. And also the seven deuce game makes people more inclined to bluff catch because you could always have seven deuce. So that's one example, or she did that a few times. But the hand, when I had kings and she had 10-7 and it came 9-7-X and I bet and she called, she checked called and the turn was a 10 and she checked and I bet 1,100 and she made it 5,100 with, I don't know, 3-4K behind, something like that. Such a bizarre sizing. Well, I was not in the zone, and here's what happens when you're in the zone. You weigh all the things, all the variables. You assign proper weight to them. Like, she's check raising here. That's strong in general. Is she capable of bluffing? Yes. Is this sizing really bizarre? 1,100 to 5,100 with 30 or maybe 3K or 4K behind. It's extremely bizarre. So you're going to take out the sets. You're going to take out the sets and the straights. And so I did that. I wanted to fold. I usually fold the overpair because people just aren't bluffing in that spot. And you have to factor, is she really bluffing me at this point when I seem really tilted? And I was. She's less likely to bluff me here, but she still could. But you have all the variables, and the most important one in that hand is she's just not going to be bluffing me and risking her whole stack. And so I normally, if I'm in the zone, I say, okay, she's not. But why does she take this huge sizing? This is a bluff sizing. No, it's not. It's a scared sizing. It is a weak hand that almost always is best. She had two pair, but she could get counterfeited if I have top pair. Of course, she's not giving me kings when I 3-bet. I've 3-bet 1,000 times on this night. So if I think through that hand when I'm in the zone, the first thing I think is, okay, this is strong. Check raise is strong. Is she capable? Yeah, she's capable. She bluffed me at least once the week before. And then is this sizing, okay, I can take out sets and straights because this sizing is just too huge. It's scared. It either wants me to fold, or I didn't get to the other part. Oh, it's trying to protect two pair and not top two. And so that cost me, 8K or whatever. And yeah, I just couldn't find it all day. And then a lot of people ask me why I left. The way I do it is I am backed by a staking corporation. I have been for all year. And I also sell on Stake Kings, 25% of my action. And so you have to tell Stake Kings how much money you're going up on stage with, and then you cannot be in for more than that. So I've been saying 26K, and I sell you know, a quarter of that, which is $6,500. And I sell it to patrons at $51 a month or more. And it's been incredibly lucrative for them. Well, on this week, it finally wasn't. They lost whatever they invested. I went to zero from 26K. So I lost 26K on stream. And that might seem like a lot in a 10, 20, 40 game. I've won that much plenty of times. And given my style of play, and I don't think it's the end of the world, but that's why I did a walk-off. And then you can see right at the end, I come back with 10K. That's the max buy-in. I'm ready to play off stream. So, and the patrons know that I ran like God. It was the opposite of the doom switch. I decided to play off stream. It's one of those situations where, oh, I'm already buried. Am I going to play bad? And I decided no. I just took a little break and decided, no, I'm gonna dig in, and it's going to be shorthanded, and this favors me. And this is where I've made all my money, my whole career. And the deck really cooperated, and I won about I won over 40K after the stream. Right after I lost 26 on stream, I won over 43 after, and I didn't play like amazing. I just played, and that's what it is sometimes, is just playing in the shorthanded game until you win the big pot. And I mean, that's just what it's been so often in my poker career. And so that was a nice bounce back after I was a little bit embarrassed by my play on Monday. I'm not so results-oriented to think like it was all my play. Oh, of course not. I didn't make good hands, and I got kings against 10-7, and it came 9-7-4 and turned 10. And then she held. Those are, you know, those hands are just, they're going to happen. They haven't been happening to me. That's why I've been fucking crushing at an anomalous rate and drawing skepticism from people that don't really understand variance or sample size or deep stack Nolan Hold'em when a lag runs hot. Well, you saw when a lag plays like shit and doesn't run hot, and then you didn't. The patrons know I ran like God after that. And then on Tuesday, I worked. And I'm just giving you a recap of the lead up because this is not a normal week. Normally, I'm just going to get right into the review because we have 5 hours of streamed poker to talk about. Well, we're going to talk about off stream. So I'm just going to give you a recap. So have your biggest loss. Well, no, I've lost more, but not on Max Payne Monday. Biggest loss for Max Payne Monday. I lost 30K on a 25-50-100 game one time. But biggest loss, and then a fucking fat win. And it was just a nice bounce back. But I felt like I was off my game a little bit in the full ring because I just played like shit. And I've never, or I used to be really good at full ring in like 2007 and 2008. And then I've just gotten worse and worse because I just don't hand select. And I overestimate my edge post flop. And as long as we're deep, and people will fold fucking pocket seven. I like in those hands against Sia, I know what she has, but I didn't get to win. I normally get to win there because I can sell it better. And yeah, so bittersweet Monday. Tuesday I worked and talked to a private investigator. A lot of people have been asking, when's the investigation? Well, the investigation has been going on. I've been, when I'm commentating, there's been a guy up there, cybersecurity guy, like, I don't know what the hell he's doing with the computers, and like, he's watching me, and he's there's been that, and then there's been a private investigator questioning everyone, getting their timelines, getting, you know, so that's what I did on Tuesday, and then I commentated, and then Wednesday, I went and played fun poker, and that means when I don't have to commentate at night, I'm going to drink on the casino floor, buy drinks, and I give too much action, and I got whacked. I lost $8,500, but I was down 13 or 14K, and the game just wasn't that big, and it was a combination of giving too much action and just not having it and running into it, and yeah, and then Thursday, so then I had a really fun night Wednesday night, and I talked about this in one of the Patron-only drops and went scootering around Long Beach, and then Thursday packed up from the Airbnb I was at and went to the Hustler and set up an office, which is just what I do, and I worked, and then it was time to play 5-5-10 full ring. So that's what we're going to talk about. It's not going to be super in depth today, and then we're going to do a scoreboard check, and then a week from today we'll be discussing another appearance on stream. So let me take a sip of this Coke Zero and tell you about this nine-handed 5-5-10 session on Thursday, November 17th, 2022. So I don't know if it's officially, unofficially host games at Hustler. The Hustler doesn't pay me to do it. They sponsor this podcast, and in return, I do what I can, and then in return, they do what they can, and it's exactly the way I feel about life, business, everything, give and take. You do something for me, I do something for you, and I've been getting, originally we were going to have games twice a week, and I did that, and then we went to three times a week, and now I just get a game every day. I don't always play in them, but I do the legwork, the texting, you know, 250 people on Sunday, and then gathering, you know, RSVPs and whatnot. Well, 5-5-10 was, you know, just a year ago was like what I was used to, and I've become numb to these stakes just from playing much bigger and swinging. That's just human nature. So I really have to focus to play well. And as you know, I keep track of wins and losses. And so I had a loss on stream, then a win, and I like to win 2 out of 3. So I really want to win in what is not a great structure for me, but this is the most amazing lineup I've seen for 5-5-10 at the Hustler. It's just a bunch of random older dudes fucking punting it off. And I'm not just selling it. It was just incredible, but it's nine-handed and we're not deep. You know, these guys are sitting with $500 and they'll get it in there with anything. So it's not like when I'm playing on stage and we're 10K deep and I can just you can't manufacture really. Well, you have to pick your spots, and I will. I was just folding for a while and taking notes on my phone and playing sober full ring. And it's a good thing that I need W's. I need wins. I want to put points on the scoreboard. I want this podcast to go another year, and I don't want to adjust the goals. I don't believe in that. So I say it's good that I need W because I feel like I'd be spewing too hard like I did on Wednesday. And what you have to do sometimes in a full ring game when you're just card dead is you got to straddle the V-pip because you're just not going to V-pip otherwise. If you're just dealt out, right? You're just getting shitty hands. Well, you're just going to be folding for orbits. I can't do that as the host. So I'll straddle when I can to, that'll get me in there. And then I'm just folding in this really crazy game. And I did manufacture two pots, and I'll tell you about them. So I have the rare, I wouldn't say tight image, but like kind of solid image, like sober image. And I had queen 10 offsuit and there was some limpage and I was a straddle and I squeezed and one guy called and it came jack 5-4. I had queen 10. I checked, he bet, I called. I didn't have enough information. I don't like giving up, and he's going to tell me a lot about his hand on the turn, and the turn is a king. Now I'm open-ended. I check and he checks back. Okay. He just seems like he has a five or a pair smaller than jack. And so when the river is a four, pairs the bottom card, I hope he doesn't have a fucking four. I send it all in, and if he doesn't have a four, I win, and he thinks for a while and folds. And so I all in on the river, something I probably did way too infrequently back in the day is river bluff, and that's, I mean, I say too infrequently. I just say I do it a lot more frequently now because the game has evolved. People used to never fold rivers. And so if they never fold rivers, you're an idiot for bluffing rivers. But now they do. The game's evolved. So it's, I find myself bluffing rivers a ton. And this is kind of an egregious squeeze. So that was my straddle and then get nothing for another orbit. My straddle again, and I look down at 5-4 offsuit and everyone's weak. And this is a horrible hand. I shouldn't be squeezing here, but You just got to live your life, and if you're the host, you got to give action, and I squeeze, and someone calls. Okay. And I did not show my hand, the queen 10, I don't believe. So Who knows? I might have had it. I didn't, but in their minds, I might have. 5-4 offsuit, and it comes ace, deuce, deuce. What do people do here when they have an ace? Do they bet? Some people do. I don't know why they do. I don't. I like a check. It's just the most way ahead, way behind spot there is. And yes, there's merit to betting tiny. I do that sometimes. You don't want to give like a hand that would call once a free card, or a hand that would never bluff a free card. But people bluff, and I checked, and the guy bet. They take stabs when you check to them, and they don't know why they're doing it. And I have a gut shot. At 5-4, I call. Ace, deuce, deuce, right? The turn's a 9. I check. If he bets again, I'm out of there. Ah, he checks back. So I don't think he's trapping me. This would be a pretty advanced play to bet an ace on the flop, check it back on the turn. And then the river is a 7, and he actually has a lot. He has, you know, maybe 4 times the pot, and I'm covered, and I just send it in for all of it because I don't think he can call, even if he does have, if he turned a 9 or if he does have a weak ace, I don't think he can call 4 times the pot. And so there it is, two manufactured hands playing sober. When I play sober, I get a lot more credit than when I'm drinking a Corona, but little known, well, the patrons know that when I play sober, I actually bluff way more because I pick up on so many things at the table. I pick up on movements, breathing, I'm so sensitive. That's why I kind of like having a buzz when I'm around a bunch of people because I'm too sensitive. Like I can't go to a restaurant, a busy restaurant. I'll hear every conversation and pick up on people's energy. And I just, it's like, oh, give me 2 beers. I'm like, let me fucking dull this a little bit. So I do bluff incessantly when I'm sober because I just see more shit. I just see another great spot. And you're going to get way more credit when you're drinking a water as opposed to a Corona. And so I also, you know, spewed a little bit and I was up $80 when this hand comes down. I open ace king offsuit. I get 3 bet by a solid player and then one of the old guys calls and I put in the 4 bet. Ace king is just such a good hand. He's probably 120 big blinds deep and I'm happy to get in with him. And he folds, but the guy who had called the 3 bet goes all in. Okay, I call. It's $1,580 each, and I got ace-king, and it comes ace-king. X, 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 and the guy had pocket 10s. And the guy who 3-bet me and folded to my 4-bet said he also had ace-king, and I didn't think he was lying. I just think he's a conservative player, and that is running good. It's an automatic hand, obviously. You're just getting ace-king in, and especially in that, when that goes down, like you open someone 3 bets and some guy who's been all in 10 times in the last fucking half hour calls and then you put in the 4 bet, the solid player folds and then this guy goes, you're always calling it off with ace-king. But very fortunate to win that flip, and it's not a flip if the guy had ace-king. It's, you know, due to card removal, I was a dog there and it's nice. And then one of the regs shows up and this is what you do as a host. It's why it's valuable to the hustler to have someone like me is that I jump out of this amazing game to let a reg. My thing is, if you're a reg and you're loyal to the hustler, I will always get you in games. I'll make another table. I'll just do what I can. I don't want you waiting around. And so a reg showed up and he wanted to play and it was just an odd time to show up. And all right, take my seat. I'll sit out and, you know, work on shit. And that, so I'm taking a little break and let me take another sip of this Coke Zero. All right. Well, now the way poker goes is a couple of the old guys bust and now they need me back in the game. And so I come back in the 5 seat. In the 6 seat is Mark Goon's friend. And he made a lot of appearances in this podcast months ago. And he was on a heater and he was living the poker pro dream, just showing up, crushing, being a nice guy, being good for the game, you know. And then he really went through it where you can see it. It's taken a bite out of him. And I can relate to this as well as anyone. And so this guy's been through it, man. He's different. He's grizzled a little bit, and he's still young. But he's been, you know, running bad for a while, and he's on my direct left, and he's aggro. And he proceeds to cooler me twice in a row for big pots. So he had top boat and then top two, and I had second boat. I mean, it was like an ace, jack, X, jack, ace, and I had a jack. And then the other one was he had king. He turned two pair, and I paid him off with top pair. And I thought his line was very polarized, his size, and it was. And then I'm blocking the hands that he could have, and he had it anyways. And it's I don't mind when players have earned calls, when they're capable of throwing a $1,000 chip in there as a bluff, they're going to get that. You know, I called one of them 1,000 on the river anyways. So there goes all my profit real quick. And then I got a really good barreling spot where you're up against a capped range, and then overcards start falling, and you keep betting. And the guy just had a set. So he couldn't have, you know, if he didn't have a set, he would have folded. And then someone opened wide, and I 3-bet with ace-jack offsuit. Very standard, very fine. And then a solid player 4-bet. You got to fold. And God, poker is funny. Like, you just, when you're running into it, it feels so hard, right? When you're not running into it, it just feels like it's great. It just feels like so easy. Like, you're just manufacture. Poker's easy. And then when you're sun running, you almost, I feel guilty. You almost feel guilty of how fucking lucky you are and how the game's beyond easy. It's you're not even doing anything. You're just using your image, or I mean, you're just running like God. So there's three main. You can run bad. You can where you're for a lag like me, who's gonna. I try and win, you know, every pot that I'm in. I battle, and so when I'm running into it, that's running bad. And then when I'm not running into it, that's running good in a weird way. Even though those hands where I told you about where I squeezed and then I shoved the river with queen 10 on jack 5-4, king 4, and 5-4 on ace deuce 9-7, that is running good because I'm just running into weak hands and I'm able to figure it out. And so I can ship it. But when you're running into sets and boats and like hands people are never folding, it's going to cost you. And then when you 3-bet in a great spot to 3-bet because someone opens too wide and you have ace jack and then the solid guy 4-bets, it's just poker seems hard. And it's all about frequency. It's all about, and I don't mean like, you know, this player's frequency in this spot. No, I mean like it's all, poker is what it, there's just such a recency bias with, is poker easy? Sure. If you're a lag and you're not running into it, it's easy as hell. Or if you're running hot, it's just beyond easy. It's kind of ridiculous. If you're running into it, poker's not easy. It's hard. And now you have to stay disciplined and you have to repair your image. And that's where I went into that mode. And I didn't play a ton on this day. Here's another thing that happened. I got pocket aces on the button. And this is one of those times where you wish you were drinking because no one's ever folding, and it's 3-bet in front of me, and I called 4-bet the button, which, man, if anyone can do that, it's me, because I called 4-bet a trillion fucking hands, and they all folded. And so I only played in total 2 hours, and I was able to manufacture some pots down the stretch, and I won $700. So it's not, you know, it's not a huge win, but it's good hourly. 2 hours, 700. The game was incredible. I ran good in that first flip, and then bad, and then, you know, fine. And just to give an update on my, I've seen on the internet. I try not to get triggered anymore, but I see people saying like my win rate is impossible because I've been losing for 5 years straight. And it's just incorrect. It's just not true. I lost 1 year in my entire life. It was the year I hit rock bottom, and I barely lost. 2017, I ran dog shit all year and got it all in against a one outer. I had queen five against pocket jacks on queen, queen, jack five. And that pot was so big, if I had won it, I would have won for the year. And so it was, but then people find out you're staked and they say, oh, you must have been losing. No, I've won every year prior to that. And since then, just not a lot because I've been building my other businesses. I have not been grinding. I have not been putting in hours. I thought I couldn't even get to 500 hours of playtime in 2021. That was the goal, and I didn't get there. And I set an ambitious goal for me at 750 this year because I knew that getting reps would be important. And but to explain the backing situation is I felt like Ryan Feldman asked me if I wanted to start playing the 10-20 game. That's what it was. It wasn't max pay money. And I just felt like, man, I've been down for so long, not losing, but just in debt and like spinning my wheels. Maybe it'd be great for the podcast and great for the show, and I could show people how to win the right way. And so then I needed a corporation to back me because I knew the games got huge. And they do. I mean, sometimes we're playing 200, 500. Me and DQ played, heads up, 200, 500, no limit, hold them a little bit. And it's often 51 or 1-2. And I knew I needed a role. And so what I did was I took the people that have been most supportive in this comeback that I'm making, and I really just started sessions to document it. And I said, you guys can buy a piece. You guys are welcome to be part of a corporation that backs me, and you're going to win. Because I look at my spreadsheet. I have a spreadsheet from before No Limit broke. I won every year. I always win in the end because I'm just this weird fucking hypersensitive person that just knows what's going on with people. I just know you're bluffing, you're not bluffing. When I'm in the zone, I do. And so I said, you're going to win, but I need it needs to be a 200K stake, but I need 100 up front. I don't need the whole 200. And what we'll do is it'll be 60 for me, 40 for you, because I'm just going to win. Not only have I always won it in every town I've gone to, every game I've played, but also these games are great, right? The Ryan Feldman games are great. And at the time, I wasn't building the games. So 60-40 seemed reasonable. And it was also to play bigger on the casino floor. And another thing was happening at the same time. I was getting better at poker. I was getting back in the zone in poker from commentating. 10 hours a week of analyzing hands will kind of get you, you know, that's getting reps. That's fucking Kobe Bryant just, you know, in the gym, just hitting that, you know, that fadeaway on the baseline over and over. And that's what I used to do when I was at my peak as a poker player is I would get reps when I wasn't at the table. I would go on 2+2 and I would post in every single live hand there was. And I would think deeply about it. I would spend all night thinking about a spot. And so I can't do that when I'm commentating. And of course, I don't try and be that strategic when I come, but you still, it just gets you in the mode of what would I do in this spot? Okay, I would do this. And also you see the tendencies, the current tendencies, where the exploits are in not in specific players so much as, well, players do this. They small bet and then they check when they don't have it, and they small bet and then they bet again when they do, stuff like that. So I knew I was going to earn for these people, and 60-40 seemed like a fair deal to me given my track record. And they posted the 100, and the deal was when I won, when they got paid back 120K. So hopefully I won't need the other 100K, but when they get back 120, that's, they got their money back plus 20%, and then they still have their initial buy-in. At that point, it kicks it up to 67% for me, 33% for the backer, And I stop giving them money. We just build the role. And so I can play in bigger games and maybe do some kind of crazy heads up challenge at some point. And so this was only this year. And, you know, you all of you know I've run really hot this year, but I'm only I'm not far away from hitting where they got their all. I went low one time to where we almost needed a reload, but we didn't. I started running hot in when I got down to like 15K. But we settle after every session. And so the backers have gotten, I think, 100 and some K back. So we're getting close to that 120 to where I will get a better percentage of my wins. And we're going to just try and run it up. And so I want, you know, every backer will already have gotten 120% return, and then they still have 100% of their initial investment, and let's try and just run that to fucking the moon, and then let's see how I play when my life slows down, and maybe I can change some things in my schedule, and I can show a different side of me at the table, which isn't, I think I'll always be fairly social, but I really just try and put on a show on Max Payne Monday, like a game building show. And I have a gear where I'm not drinking and I can, I'm playing to kill like the Tommy Tryhards that you see on Friday. I just prefer to not do it, but I'm thinking about maybe I'll do it just to fucking prove some motherfuckers wrong. I don't know. So that's just an update on that. And let's check the scoreboard. The countdown to 2023 after week 46 of 50. That's crazy. 92% of the way through this journey that is season 5 of Sessions. And if we get to 2023 points, there will be a sixth season, a sixth and final season of Sessions. And I've already, I really know what I want to do for season 6 of Sessions. I want to release a week long lead up, a full hour of life story content. I want to release it 1 hour before I play on stream, so you can listen to it and then know what's going on with me and then watch. I think it'll give a nice boost to the viewing experience. And then I'll review the session like the next day, and that'll be the other part. I think that'll be cool. And then I'm going to spend a lot of time on the community, which is, it's pretty big. Everyone that supports me on Patreon is automatically a member until they butcher it or they don't want to be a part of it. And yeah. And then I'm already thinking of after that, I still want to continue to podcast, but this is a comeback story and we're 5 years into it. And we made up a lot of ground this year, just spun our wheels for the first 3 years and started to gain traction, if that's how you say that, in year 4, season 4. And this year, you know, I just predicted that this would be the year. And it has been the year, but it's not complete. I'm not out of debt yet. And I need to get out of debt and get on a path towards financial security and better spending habits and all that. And I just want that to be the sixth and final season. And then I'm thinking about, well, I want a podcast after that. And then I already know what I want to call it. I want to get people's life stories. That's always what I've loved doing that. During the pandemic, I got life stories of just patrons. And it's funny, Nick Airball wasn't it. Nick Airball back then. I got his life story. He was just a patron. And anyways, let's check out this scoreboard and see how we're doing. See if we're going to have a season 6, whether it's likely or not. So hours, I played 13 this week. We have 782 hours on the year. The goal was 750, and this was the loftiest goal I set. I set 4 goals. Hours, wins and losses, patrons, growing my Patreon, and then growing my startup Poker Rags. This was the toughest goal. Hours, and I've already passed it. The goal is 750, where I got 782. The rest of it is gravy. So check mark hours. Wins. This is a tough one. This one's going to go down to the wire. As mentioned, I lost. So the week started after Max Payne Monday, and I won a bunch. And then I lost on Wednesday on the casino floor. And then the next day, this Thursday, I won little, but I got that W. which is important. And for some poker players, that's not a great metric. I don't give a shit about wins and losses. I give about money. Yeah, but if you're like me, you need those wins to feel good inside, to play well, for momentum. So I knowingly set a goal that doesn't make a ton of sense for a poker player. If they don't care about wins and losses, they can... What's more important is just how much money you win, right? That's the... But for me, I feel like trying to book wins helps me. It helps me stay on track and keeps me from spewing too hard. And so we lost. We won after stream Monday. That was the first session. Got whacked on Wednesday on the casino floor, and we won here on Thursday. So that's two wins and one loss. That's what I wanted to do all year. And 5 points for a win, minus five for a loss. So we got 10 points for wins and minus five for one loss, and that's 5 points. And we have 230 points on the year. The pace is 230. We're trying to get to 250. So we have 92 wins and 46 losses on the year. This one is a sweat, and you know, there's not a lot you can do. Sometimes you can play longer sessions if you really want to book that win, but I don't always have the time available, and this one's a sweat. Let's look at the third line item, and it's patrons. And I wanted to grow to I wanted to have 500 patrons by the end of the year, and I had over 500 patrons before this Jack 4 offsuit. And that's not the only thing that's cost me some patrons this year. Admittedly, this podcast got a little vanilla for a while, and I just didn't realize it at the time. And I think I corrected that. And there are issues with Patreon as well. Some people struggle with their credit cards and say, fuck you, this isn't, you know, and that's fair. And then some people really love the struggle and they don't feel like I'm struggling so much. And so it's not as interesting. That's fair as well. So there are reasons why we slowed way down, but we're still, you know, we're trying to get to 500 patrons, and I guess we needed 125. So I think we started the year with 375. And someone at $51 a month, which is the tier where you get to have a piece of me, you get to buy a piece of me with no markup for Max Payne Monday or anytime I play on stream. You get so many other perks. You get sports betting with no juice. You get poker with essentially no rake. I don't make a penny off the games that I run. And you get Slack, which is social media. And you get all the content. And you get the forum. Anyways, someone deleted and they said financial reasons. That happens. And then two more people deleted. And the financial reason is... I don't know, maybe it was the first time they bought a piece of action, because it'd be almost impossible. It's plus EV. $51 is plus EV, even if you never listen to the podcast. It's plus EV, so you can buy a piece, then I'm going to be in these sick fucking games, and most of the time, I'm going to be pretty focused, even if I'm drinking and put on a show. And then someone at 1688, that's where you get to play poker, they deleted, and I believe it was a community issue. I haven't had the time to manage the community as well as possible, and sometimes... people that are about themselves, which I've called nits, you know, all take and no give, will sneak in and I hope they get, you know, weeded out. I just haven't had the time to manage it as well. And sometimes it costs me a bigger patron, and it's the way it goes. And then someone was at 27 and went down to 1688. And then Jeremy signed up. And then some people fixed their cards. This is how busy I've been. I haven't even had... I couldn't make time to message people with declined cards saying if you want to get access to your RSS feed again, and if you want to put your 4 points back on the board, you just got to fix your card. So some people did. We netted one patron this week. That's 4 points on the board. Every added patron in a week is 4 points, and every, if you go down, it's minus four. So we got one net one, that's 4 points. And we're ahead of pace here. We have 588 points on the year, and the pace is 552. So we are 36 ahead of pace. But we were way ahead, and maybe this Jack 4 shit is over. I don't know. It's just really hard to tell on the, you know, looking at the internet what the vibe is or not. But, yeah. So, first three line items were... We already checkmarked the first one. We already played more hours than we set out to. The second one is right on pace. It's a sweat. The third one, we're ahead, and we need to do a few things to hit. The fourth one is where we're way behind. That's Poker Rags. It's my startup, and people said, why are you putting this in here? I don't know. I put it in there at the beginning of the year because it's a sponsor of the podcast, and if I'm using it as a sponsor for my podcast, I'm not using something else. I have the Hustler and Poker Rags. Well, I need to be seeing some growth in my startup, and for many reasons, it has been a very off year for Poker Rags, but if you order something off my page on pokerags.us and you just click on Team Poker Rags and DGAF, you get a point. And also, we have a new HCL family design coming out. And if you order that, which that won't put any money in my pocket, but it doesn't matter. It's so important to me, this show that I work at and this place I work at, that anyone that orders that, that'll put points on the board, and hopefully we'll have a big rally at the end. Anyways, on this week, Average Size Robert out there in Paneas Park, Florida, put 5 points on the board. He got, I think he got a shirt from each season of Sessions. That's what's up. Thank you, Average Size Robert. So we got 5 points on the week, 97 on the year. The pace is 389. However, we're 292 behind that, trying to get to 423. So maybe this new design will be a nice boost, this HCL family one. And then what we do is we add those four up, and then we see how we're doing the countdown to 2023. If we get 2023 points total from those four line items, there'll be a podcast in 2023. There'll be Sessions. We will fucking finish the job in season six. There's just no choice. And anyways, we got 27 points this week. So we have 1697 on the year. The pace is 1861. We're 164 behind pace to 2023. So we're trending towards not having that sixth and final season of Sessions. But also, we're far from drawing dead. Maybe this new design will be the thing that gets us right. I don't know. Peace.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.